Someone who's my age. but we went to the Sima Shas, there was the Sima Shas, and you know, the yeshiva, as the customer of the yeshivas, they're very, very political, the yeshivas, they you know, are you supposed to go to the Sima, not supposed to go to the Sima? It's like, no, it's Bittul Torah, really Bittul Torah, come on, what is everyone doing already during that time? But officially they say, you only should go if you really, you need to go, you want to go. Everyone went. Back in those days, everyone went to Madison Square Garden. It was beautiful. And the next day, it was a very powerful memory that always sticks with me. The next day, it defines what a Rebbe is. The next day, my Rebbe of Chaim Siegel, he just published a beautiful book, okay, 550-page book on the influence, the pichus of Rav Chaim Siegel Zecher Tzadik Livracha. He was the menahel of Yeshiva Chaim Berlin for many, many years. Before that, he was the menahel for a short time in Eastern Parkway. Yeshiva Crown Heights. He wasn't, I'm telling you, I was very close with him to a degree, and he wasn't a Chaim Berliner, okay? He wasn't, you know, he's a Chaim Berliner. No, he wasn't. He's not. I know what the book says. It's not the shiur on that. He was. Today there's a term in this world, a Chaim Berliner. I could tell you for everything the time that I've spent with him, he does not fit into that mold. And anyone that knows him will agree with me 100%. He was extremely loyal to the Chaim Berlin, to the yeshiva, and to their hashkafa, extremely, extremely loyal, but personally he was not from that camp. I'm not saying any chidushim. I learned by him. He was the menahel. He was really my rebbe for 4 years because he had a very powerful influence. My parents also were very close with him. My parents, they were very, very impressed with him, very close with him. They consulted with him many things, and he was a very, very good person, a very holy person. And when I was in 12th grade, we went to see Mashas. And like this was typical of what a Rebbe is. When we came back the next day, and what was the shir? He prepared a long, good, lumdish shir. And then he says, today we're going to chazer the Sima Shas. That's the shir. You all went to the Sima Shas. You all went to Madison Square Garden. You were all there. So we have to chazer. What were the yesoidais? The yesoidais that we gleaned, we extracted, we took out, we come away with. And he went on to basically review all of the speeches. In those days, there was no dancing at all in that Sima Shas. And no dancing, no song and dance, no glitter. And he reviewed with us. We went over all of the speeches. Everything was in Yiddish. Every speech in those days was pure Yiddish. I didn't understand a word. I didn't understand a word that was said, not a single word. I remember I said the heart all the way up. I remember you couldn't see a thing. You needed binoculars, couldn't see a thing. You vaguely can see the resemblance of a dais. It was a watershed moment. That Sima Shas was the first Sima Shas that they had in Madison Square Garden. I cannot explain to you, from my perspective, as a much younger person, where it was like, is this possible? That Jews can come together and take over Madison Square Garden? Is it really possible? The whole place was filled, packed. It was an empty seat. Today we take it for granted. Big deal. Today, you know, we own the country. Okay? From people, Trump has a kollel in the Oval Office. Practically speaking, right? Okay? Practically speaking, there's a kollel in the Oval Office. But it was different. Everybody said it was so different, and it was such a novelty. It was such a novelty, and I remember clearly, I probably even have it at home, they give out this book, this thick book. So in that book, I remember studying it, because I couldn't understand the speeches, was the advertisement of Art Scroll for an elucidation of the Talmud Bavli. It was the first time they advertised coming soon in English Gemara. The Art Scroll English Gemara. Scheinstein was not yet part of the equation. He did not yet join the bandwagon way before that. And they showed like I was so, wow, look at this. They showed like an example of the art scrolling L'shas that appeared as an advertisement in this little book they published way back. And it's Encino, obviously. We all use Encino. We all use, but it was a novelty that Arsenal was going to compete with Encino. Arsenal was going to compete and going to put out their own art scroll, their own Gemara. And, you know, it made an impression on me that I tell you, I remember that how he took upon himself, I'm your Rebbe, and my job is to review with you what happened yesterday. Part of being a Rebbe is not just to teach you the Gemara, Rashi Tosfos, to give you a shiur. It was a significant event. We all went. Everyone went. There's what to take out. What you, as you know, high school students should take out of this is not what Balabatim, not what other people should take out of this. And he went over. And I don't remember very much what he said. I don't remember all the details, but I do remember that itself of the achrayis of a Rebbe to not just teach you Rashi and Tosfos, but to teach you to chazer as a shiur of every single thing that was said by each one of the Gedolim, who was, most of them not alive anymore, probably none of them are alive anymore, the ones who spoke them, said what they said, who they were, what they said, and his impression, and what I take out of it, was a very powerful message. And that was just one example of things like that he did, that he viewed his role as a Rebbe to be more than just Gemara, Rashi, Tosfos. Yesterday was a very special event. And I want to share with you my thoughts. I want to hear really from your thoughts. One thing I have to tell you is this Siyum compared to 7 years ago, in the same exact location, I'm just telling you from my impression, and I want to hear your impression, was a more mature progression of the Siyum. In other words, everyone knew exactly what's happening. They knew exactly what to expect, when to expect it, what to do. The whole thing was like, it wasn't just choreographed by the Aguda. Everyone knew. Now, what do I mean by that? It was freezing cold. Okay, freezing cold. A lot colder than anyone expected. Anyone who walked in, they had no idea. And probably many people who did know would have known, would not even come had they known how cold they would get. Okay, it was windy. It was freezing cold for the average person. The women, they turned into popsicles, felt full like flies. I think people had known. They probably, and a lot of people could not take it. And it definitely. I don't want to say anything bad today. I'm not saying one bad word. Bad. I'm just saying it just. But it was hard. So they basically. It was very difficult to concentrate. It was very difficult to apply yourself, to listen. And a lot of people went indoors. There were a lot of indoor. Anyone who wanted to go indoors, go indoors, Baruch Hashem. It's a very, very... come on, there were plenty of places to go warm up. What?
It wasn't any better.
Okay, I don't know. It's the very place. I don't know. The place where I was able to hang out, I was able to go into a place that was relatively warm, and the hall that I was able to hang out, and black people were hanging out and loitering there, and there was coffee, there was if you whatever it is, right? I'm sure the whole place, 9,000 people, it's not the same everywhere. I was maybe lucky where I was able to go in from the cold into a place that was okay. And, you know, it was a big social event. It was a major social event partially because it was just too cold really to participate. But everyone knew that when they make the Siyum and they're going to start dancing, every living person in the hall packed in to their seats. It's like everyone knew. Yeah, this speech, that speech, I'm not interested. But everyone was like programmed. Oh, now we're coming to the moment of truth. Now the moment of truth. And they did the Hadra. And then they did the Kaddish. And then the music broke out. They played music for approximately 20 minutes. And for me, it was worth the whole... I'm just telling you my personal reflection. It was awesome. It appeared that it was completely full. Look very carefully. It appeared 95% every seat was taken.
Not what you predicted.
And in the freezing cold, and every single person was focused on one thing. Simcha Sator. And it was very, very special. It was really, it made a very powerful impact on me watching groups singing amongst themselves, Or Yitzchak, where I go to, I go on Shabbos to Or Yitzchak, the whole yeshiva sat together. They smuggled in food. It was hilarious. The kol kori went out the day before on the chat. Everyone should come to yeshiva, pick up a bag of food, pastrami, onion rings, and the bags were measured to fill out the requirements of not. It was like a joke almost. Smuggling illegal goods. Smuggling. Make sure you do it this way to get it in, to bring it in, so we'll have a big meal for the whole yeshiva together at and their section. And they all sat together. It was really, really beautiful.
You're with my grandson?
It was a big section, so I'm not sure. I was a little bit on the side. I wasn't mamish in that section, but a little bit over to the side. It was really, really beautiful. And you saw the groups, and you saw the people. Everyone knew this is where the action is. They all came out of their holes to be there. That example also set, really was for the whole siyum. Everyone was like trained. Previous siyumim, things happen spontaneously. Like, you come to the siyum, you don't know what to expect. You don't know what to expect. You know, this. We've been there. We've done it. Everyone there was in that mode. We've been there, we've done it, we know what happens. It's like you come to Shulam Simchas Torah. You know, there's this hakafa, there's Susha Arim. Mm-hmm. You know what to expect. It's amazing because it's a degree of maturity in a Sima Shas. That's mind-boggling. Who, an event that happens once in 7 years that's not even part of halach, it's not part of any cycle, that people should be so programmed. Like it's Simchas Torah, and you know when it's Susharim, and you know when it's this Akafa, and you know when it's that Akafa, and you know when to go loiter in the hall, and you know when to run away, you know when to come back. It was amazing. I thought that itself to me, just the fact that everyone like just naturally knew, now you get into your seat, and now the celebration begins.
Did they serve food?
No, they did not serve food.
My wife said she saw that they were eating somewhere.
Some people, the rich and famous. The lifestyles of the rich and famous. All right. Let's discuss serious things. It was really a very, for me and for many people I spoke to, it was an extremely powerful experience, those 20 minutes. And that made it worth everything, yeah.
I just want to say something else.
Sure.
For me, it was a combination of Lezecher Nishmat HaKadosh.
Oh, I'm going to come down a second.
That's number one.
Okay.
And number two, I was sitting with my son-in-law and my three grandchildren who are married. And on the other side, my wife, she was sitting with my daughter. It was a family affair.
Yes.
In addition to memory of the past.
Past, yes.
So the future and the past.
It was beautiful.
That was,
yeah.
To me, it was very... very touching. I was crying.
Me too.
Because of that and because of that.
Yeah.
And I was dancing with my grandchildren. Mm-hmm. There. That's what God.
It was very special.
That's the siyum.
I planned.
Siyum bathala.
Exactly. I personally planned with so cold, like a popsicle stick. I was planning after the dancing, I'm getting out of here. I can't. I physically can't. I can't survive in this cold. I don't know why, I just stayed. And I thought for sure that a blazer, see, we have like a little bit of a blazer is officially the Rashiva of Or Yitzchak, a blazer Ginsburg, the one who David's mad. I don't know if you know a blazer. A blazer, he's a character.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know a blazer. He's a character. He's a teddy bear. How is that show off? You have to know him. He's a funny, very, very funny person. He's a very funny person. And we all know that the Mayrif, a blazer, it means everything. So we all, I said to Ablazer, he's not going to even have one person here for Marif. Because everyone's packing out of here after the whole. And I was very surprised. And I said, I'm going to stay a little longer. I'm not going to leave right away. And then somehow I found myself staying to the very end. And I was really shocked that the vast majority of people did stay to the end. It's a really amazing, even in the freezing cold, even though I was going to leave, I was really planning to, and I was looking forward to leaving. I'll stay around a little more. And not only did, and I think a lot of people had the same mindset. A lot of people were out of here. And they just, not everyone, but 75% at least, I think it's a fair number, stayed to the very end. It's shocking in the freezing cold. And then, you know, the whole time there was a lot of talking because people, this is just, you know, they're different problems.
How was the echo?
Echo, where I sat, I don't want to say anything bad. I'm not here to say anything bad today, but there's room for improvement. Okay, there's room. The sound quality of a stadium of this size, there's room for improvement. That's all I'll say. But people were very distracted. People were not really. But I found it very, very amazing. It made a very powerful impression on me that when it came time for the kedushin, it became very quiet. You can literally hear a pin drop. But even besides the, it just became quiet, and people were paying attention. The fact that people just stopped all the nonsense and start just the respect of 90,000 people was powerful. It was very powerful, and the kelmale. And the Kaddish and the technology, how they show, they obviously they choreographed, they zoomed in on the Holocaust survivors, yes. If you paid attention. It was a powerful zecher for the Kaddish. And I told you we had this discussion with Besser. Besser was who's the president of I forgot all the names right because I didn't prepare all this, but there was a person who worked for the Aguda, gave his life for the Aguda. He wrote a book. Is that the one who wrote the book? He wrote a book on his reflections. I once spoke to this over with you, and he spoke about this. There's a major chunk of that book about the Daf Yomi, what happened behind the scenes of the Daf Yomi. And many, many years ago, his exact year, what it was, in 1973 it could be, I don't know exactly what it was, the Agudas Yisrael was under enormous pressure. Agudas Yisrael was a very different organization then. It was a very powerful organization then. I think it was a lot more powerful. There weren't all these million organizations then. There were very few central organizations that worked for Klal Yisrael. The OU, of course, Aguda. They were very, very powerful, and they were under enormous pressure to do something l'zecher nishmas the kedoshim. If you're not going to accept Yom HaShoah, because you have issues halachic, there are halachic issues. Chodesh Nisan, you want to make a Yom HaShoah, not Chodesh Nisan. Chodesh Nisan is not the time you make a Yom HaShoah. And to focus on the Warsaw Uprising in a Hashkafa, a Torah Hashkafa, who they represent, they felt is not correct. There's nothing wrong. There's plenty of precedent to make a Yom HaZikaron for Kedoshim, but it has to be in a Torahic way. And they had took issue. The Gedolim of the time took very, very strong issue with the observance of Yom HaShoah for their constituents as a zecher for the Kedoshim, and they were under enormous pressure. Do something! Don't let this slide! And they said, okay, from Mikan Ulehaba, the learning of the Daf Yomi, of the Aguda, which was a small project then. It wasn't like this. They never would, in their wildest dreams, envision yesterday's event, 19th, never. And they decided, Mikan Ulehaba, the learning of the Daf Yomi will be l'zecher nishmas the kedoshim, and to prove it, in 2 months from that time they made that decision. We're having a siyum hashas, and the whole siyum is going to be for the kedoshim. The whole siyum, it's going to be the theme of the siyum is going to be the kedoshim, and then mikan ulahaba. A significant element of every siyum is a speech for the kedoshim, an address, a main address. And now with technology, they have a video presentation as well, and the recital of Kaddish, Kelmale. It took a good 45 minutes from beginning to end, this whole section, maybe even more, this whole section. And it was, in my eyes, it was probably, besides the dancing, it was by far the nicest part of the scene.
You showed the building of the Gemarot.
Was powerful, very powerful. And the themes people spoke about also, about the ripping out of the Gemara, ripping out of the page of the Gemara, there were some of the stories that were said. The theme was, it was very powerful. See, the last Siyum HaShas, when I walked away, that my memories, 7.5 years ago, what made the impression, I think, on most people was the children. was the section of encouraging the next generation. In this Siyum HaShas, I think most people walked away, they were much more impressed with the Zechef of the Kedoshim than they were for the children. It was very beautiful, but somehow this sort of took the limelight, this element. And that's very important. And that's a very chashuv thing, because the Kedoshim are the Kedoshim, and it's true, we can't forget. And what he writes there in the book, he does not say these words. I'm putting words into his mouth. But between the lines, to me, these words are screaming. They're coming out of the pages of Bess's book, screaming out of the book, are after the Agoda dedicated the learning of Daf Yomi for the Kedoshim, the learning of the Daf Yomi took off like a rocket. Like a rocket. It wasn't so popular. It just took off like a craze. It became a thing. It became a thing, and he basically says, he attributes the success of the Daf Yomi to the fact that there are 6 million fans who are rooting in the other world that we should succeed. You don't believe Rav
Chol? No, I don't. I think it's the art scroll tomorrow.
Actually, much later. Art scroll was a response to fill the void of people who wanted to learn and had a hard time.
But that enabled people to participate.
Yes. That came 20 years later. That came 20 years later.
So
20 years later. Okay. But there's definitely a very powerful momentum that began. This is what he writes in the book. He writes a very powerful. Okay, it's an idea. I'm not saying he's just saying it's something to think about. But it's definitely true that there are 6 million fans in Shemayim that are rooting for the Daf Yomi. And that's very special. That's very unique. And the Zikaron, it's probably the largest Yizkar ceremony for the Kedoshim in the entire world. Where in the entire world you have a ceremony to be maskir the Kedoshim? You have 100,000 people all over the world watching online and talking about it. It's probably the largest Yizkar ceremony, and the whole really, it's every day. It's not just once 7.5 years. The whole Daf Yomi, by the way, which the Agudah, they own the intellectual rights. In my book, I don't know about other people's book. I don't know, the patent expired in Jewish law, but you know, it's their toy. It's their pride and joy, and they dedicated it for the Kedoshim. It's something that's very powerful. There's no question about it, to keep the memory of the Kedoshim Allah alive. Another thing which struck me very, very powerful is the experience of going there, the dignity of the way people behaved. That itself, forget about what happened. It's mamish what it means, ilu kervanu lifnei har sinai v'loy noslanu es ha-Torah. We were going. I was going to go by train. I was mamish diehard to go on the train. Someone asked me a favor that I should go with him in the car. Why? I don't know why. I'm not telling you all the details of what happened. So, okay, fine. Told me he has a driver. Someone's going to take him. We're going to go in the car. Okay, I said, we got to go very early. I don't want to be late. I want to be very early. Okay, we're going to go very early. You know what happened? I was very upset. Ended up going later than I wanted. We come there, sure enough, exactly what I expected, gridlock alert. Gridlock is good. Actually, because of that, they postponed it by 15 minutes, which is shocking. Shocking, because it's televised worldwide, and that's a major decision. You need a Sanhedrin of Ayin Aleph to make that decision, to postpone it by 15 minutes, a televised event, even the Super Bowl. The Super Bowl, they don't postpone by 1 second. It's choreographed, you know. They postponed it by 15 minutes because it wasn't filled. People were still stuck in gridlock. So I was in the car, and I had deja vu, and I remember going to something like this, and I said to the guy with me, we're getting out of the car right now, and we're walking. I asked the driver, well, how much is there to get to this place? 1 mile to get there. And then we called in. When we get there, it's to American Dream. To the center, it's a 15-minute walk from American Dream through the whole procession to get there. So it's going to be basically almost a half an hour walk. I said, we're going. We're getting out of the car. Let's go. They didn't want to go with me. I basically opened the door and forced them out of the car. I don't remember. I don't really remember exactly. And we started, and reluctantly, people who would never do this, I forced them out into the cold, onto the gravel in the middle of the highway, and we started walking. And we started walking because I had experience with this, and I knew we were going to sit here for 2 hours and go nowhere, go absolutely nowhere. And then took another hour getting in. So we started walking. And we started walking and walking. I started them along, and then I turn around, and guess what?
Everybody's walking.
Everyone, I was so proud of myself. I was the blind leading the blind. Everyone got out of the car, all the passengers, and they just started following us. Literally, I didn't even know where we were going. The blind leading the blind, and it was turned out to be a very good thing. But in the process, it was very choshev. It was very choshev. Aliyah l'regel, the last trek. You're supposed to go by foot. And we come there, and the people are so disciplined, so polite, so well behaved. And like you say, look what Torah can produce. Look at the product of what it means to have a Jewish education, to be raised by a family, parents, Yiddish parents, to have a Jewish education, to learn Torah. Look at the product. The staff was blown away. I have here on my phone this morning like a flood of someone collected from the government, all the way from the top down to the ushers, statements. They've never ever seen anything like this. Off the charts. I have someone of a Shmibin Shul.
On New Year's.
I have someone in Shmimin Shul. He told me that he went over to different police officers and he politely asked them for their name and their contact information. He wants to speak to them afterwards, interview them, to write. His wife is a very big writer. She writes for one of these magazines. To write a very detailed interview, to conduct interviews with a whole collection of the staff, to sit down, not just comments, you know, words, to talk to them, to see what they have to say, to see it. That itself made me proud. It was extremely, extremely chashuv.
How was the shnoris situation?
There was no shnoris. I was shocked also. Nope. Zero shnoris. No costumes, except for Waldo. Except for Waldo. You know why? Someone explained to me, Waldo. He wanted, he says, did you see him?
Did you see him?
Did you see him? See him. The see him Ashas. Did you see him? Did you see him? Waldo. That was his goal. That was his goal. Okay, he made the news. You get it? It took me a lot of time to get it. Okay, I'm not so clever. Okay, did you see him? Did you see Waldo? Okay, so besides Waldo, there were no costumes. It was very respectful. People came dressed up, suits. It was very choshev. People, Big Day Shabbos. People, you know, they put on Big Day Shabbos. They braved the cold. I don't know how. I really don't know how. It was brutal. Were you cold? Was your wife cold? Yes.
Rabbi, you can enter a football game in Wisconsin, it's like in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, but they take the flesh off.
Okay. Okay, it was brutal.
They take the bottle of schnapps with us.
No, you can't take it.
Yeah.
They couldn't take it.
Yes.
And suddenly, everybody was quiet.
Right, Shmona Esrei. Maariv also. Yes. The Maariv of Shmona Esrei. Well, we're talking already? Maariv? Yes. By Mincha is better.
But Mincha was so many thousands of
quiet.
People.
Quiet. Unbelievable.
Quiet
unbelievable. They promoted, there's a lot of things going on there. They good to allow themselves. It's interesting. It was choreographed beyond belief. The amount of work that went in there. I work with Authority Time, and they do events. And events, you know, can't even begin to imagine what goes on behind the scenes. How much you take for granted. So I have a teeny appreciation, but what I saw yesterday, the amount of work and effort and was beyond belief. This one, I like to pay attention to that, like, you know, the logistics of how these things work. And I was always very disappointed in the past. I remember very very specific things in the past about this one was much better. It was really, really done well. They crossed the T's, dotted the I's. They had a much larger staff working this time than the previous times. They had a lot of upgrades that I appreciated. There was absolutely zero advertisements during the scene. The previous scene, they had flashing around, you know, that screen that goes all the way around?
Yes.
Advertisements, nothing. Only words of Torah, words of inspiration, part of the scene. There was no commercialization. The MCs were not, were part of the Agudah staff, which was very impressive, not people they brought in who were many people felt is not appropriate. It was the Agudah, they're not the Agudah people who run the Agudah, they were the MCs, and again they were sensitive to the complaints. Don't commercialize this event. It was very clear that was very much, not totally, I guess there's a degree that they can accommodate that, but to a significant degree, you saw the sensitivity that this is a very Torah-dic event, not to allow commercialization. I appreciated that. When you compare it to what I'm used to, it was very, very impressive. The dais thing for me did not do justice. I felt it was a great idea. This is another example in life for me. I can only tell you my impressions, but I'm telling you this for a reason, because I now have an appreciation of things I never had appreciation for. Agudah, they make litzanis of the Agudah. The Agudah, there's a litzanis. You have to know what goes on in the Agudah. They never, ever have an event when there's no dais. It's like a joke. A dais. Any Agudah event includes a dais. It's like when the President of the United States comes, they have a podium with a seal, right? They have a seal, the President of the United States. Whenever the Agudah makes an event, there's a dais. And who's the dais? Whoever has a white beard, right? You have to have a dais. In fact, I remember many years ago. What? Big hats. Big hats, you have to have a dais. You have to have a dais of Rabbanim. So I'll give you an example. I remember many years ago, I was given Daf Yomi, and I was on a list, and I was invited to come to an event for Magidim of Daf Yomi. Only people who give a Daf Yomi share were invited to this event by the Agudah. It was a beautiful event, and the person got up to speak with the Agudah, and they had speakers, and he says, this is the first time in our history, in the modern, that we have an event. There's no dais. That's what he said. That was the introduction. There's no dais here. Why? Because everyone here should be on the dais. Everyone here is a maggot shear. So there's no dais. We never did this. We don't even know what it means. We don't even know what it means to make an event when there's no dais. It's like bizarre to us. I work for the Agudah. I do events. This is what I do the whole day. Run over the country and do events. A dais. Where's the dais going to be? Platform high up, low up. How many rows? This, that. It's like a circus, the dais, right? Levels. Politics, ugly politics, who sits next to who? Who doesn't sit next to who? Right? No dais. It's like, what? This can't even be the Agudah. So yesterday they tried something new. They tried to have a dais, because what's the problem? It's a circle. So if you have a dais, the people on the dais, their backs are to half the people. On the side you can't see. People in the front you see. So they came with this new idea, where they have a square dais, and there are four dais. There are four different parts of the dais. These people are facing this way, facing that way, facing that way, facing that way. And there's a podium on each of the four parts of the square, and each speech, they rotated, went in a circle. Each speech spoke from a different part. It sounds great on paper, right? It sounds great in concept, but to me, I feel that, I'm just telling you my impression. I now, for the first time in my life, really, I'm not like this like dais type of thing, you know. To me, it's like, you know, it's over the top sometimes. It's a little bit, you know, come on, who are you fooling here? Who are you fooling over here? Right? But the first time in my life, I appreciated what it means, a dais. Because you have an event, that's right. That's like my hergish. I can't think of anyone else. My hergish is, that's right, you have an event. There are people that are choshev, who should be on the dais. Okay, it's politics and it's nasty and this and that, but that's how it is. That's life. Not life is no things in the world. There should be a dais. If everyone's on the dais, there's no dais. This dais of four sides there was like no dais. It was really like there was my eyes, and I think in the eyes of many people, there was no dais.
Online,
it was online, it was a different event. Online, it was a completely different event. I actually sat the whole time watching online because I couldn't see. I couldn't see. I'm too high up. But online, you get an entirely different perspective than when you get when you're sitting, when you're there. When you're there, it really looked like there is no dais. And now I appreciate what it means to have a dais. That's right. There should be a dais. There should be Gedolei Yisrael sitting in the front. You can look at you. These are the people that you're coming to give respect to. These are the leaders. There's something to it. And when you see what happens when you don't have a dais, then you unfortunately first get an appreciation. I think that halfway through this event, there was no one sitting on the dais anymore. None of them. All of the rabbanim ran for cover because they were all freezing. They're older people.
You didn't see the dais go from one side. And to the
dais, literally, they were empty. They were gone. They were literally gone. Only people that had to be there, who had to speak. They were all, and even those people, they stepped off and they sat down on the floor. It was the whole dais dissolved very quickly because there was no dais. It was.
The next theme will be during the summer.
So I gained. I found that to be very, very fascinating. That to be a new appreciation. Yes. When you say something.
Yeah.
Yep.
Out of all the speeches,
a little louder.
I'm sorry. Out of all the speeches, I found the Never Minsker Rebbe. At one point toward the end of his speech, he reached out to the secularists
in Israel.
Eretz Yisrael. Yes.
Yes.
I thought that was very moving.
He always does that. Yeah. The Novi Minsker Rebbe, that's one of his biggest milas. Every time he speaks representing the Aguda, every time, he always speaks with care about Acheinu Bnei Yisrael who are suffering, who are in Eretz Yisrael. Mm-hmm. He always, I mean, this is Golus. Let's not forget that. Yeah. You know, one of the critiques, I'm not here to say anything bit, is we don't belong here. We belong in Eretz Yisrael. That's we don't belong in Chutz La'aretz. We belong in Eretz Yisrael, and he always makes that point. He always says, like, he talks about Eretz Yisrael, which is something to appreciate, and it's a very, very, very great thing that he does to remind people about Eretz Yisrael.
Here.
Yeah.
I get very different experience. Organization calls Sharoshim.
Yeah.
Took Bogonia Russian Jews and they sent them to Madison Square Garden. And 40 years before, I never saw a religious Jew in my life. Never. And there I said, I saw 30,000 black and white with heads.
Penguins.
It was
maybe they were penguins.
Absolutely strange experience.
Other hand.
I feel it's impossible. It cannot be so many Jews and the same, and they move the same, they speak the same, they like.
Another thing that really hit me hard, another impression that really hit me hard is I remember going the first time I went to the Sima Shas, there was no singing or dancing. Nothing. There was no musical instruments present. It was a Madison Square Garden. There was no musical instruments. And they had a scene. You came there to hear speeches. But the seam, they were doylem from the previous generation, zakenim on the dais. It was a very serious event. There was
Didn't
no.
Abish
no, that was later. That was the next time. That was the next time. So let me bring out the point. I don't want
to
say.
I went to 1990.
We're in the seam Ashas, and there was no expectation for singing. There was none. The only thing that they had was, you're right. I remember that time. Abish Brod did sing, yes, not from the yes. from the side. No, I don't even know if he sang that. He sang, that was later. That was the second segment. He sang another song. He sang a slow melody, like for the Kedoshim. And there was people were listening. We were there for speeches. You were there to hear words like Kinos, Madison Square Garden. All right. And it was shocking. I mean, people really, really shaken up just in that experience. The next time the Agudah made the Siyum, they decided we're going to put, I remember clear like yesterday, they had like on a stage in Masquerade Garden, they had one guy, a young guy, on a keyboard. And I remember he had a little boy with him. He had a little boy, probably was like 6 years old, sitting there with him on this little platform, on a keyboard. And Abba Sprott, he sang Simen Tov Mazel Tov. They finished it, Mazel Tov. And then for real, spontaneous dancing broke out.
Yes, yes.
It was unexpected. Mm-hmm. And really, that was the talk of the town. It wasn't planned, because the last Siyum didn't even happen. Mm-hmm. And then this, and then this Siyum, and that Siyum, it was like, wow. That was amazing. We came here to hear words of inspiration, words of Torah, to celebrate. And they had a keyboard, the guy played, nothing special. and he sang, and people started dancing in the aisles. Wow. The next time, so they are good to put on their schedule, making a joke now, they put on their schedule at 7:33, we will now have spontaneous dancing. That's the joke. Okay, that's the most common joke. We will now break out in spontaneous, that's the plan. Obviously, they increase their band a little bit more, but it's only supposed to be for a couple of minutes, less a little bit more.
20 minutes.
Yes, but why do you come? You come to the Siyum HaShas for the speeches. For the speeches. You don't come for the video presentation. You don't come for you come. Yesterday, what did I come for? What did everyone come for? One thing. It's like strange, but the inspiration that I was hoping to get, which I got, was the dancing. Was
yes.
Mazel Tov, 20 minutes
yes.
of traditional melodies, these ancient melodies. Olam Haba is a good, that's almost like, is like 1,000 years old.
It was in place, it was not
Simchas Torah songs, no rock and roll, no jazz, these old songs. 90,000 people for 20 minutes. I came for that! And so did everyone else. And I think, isn't it amazing? Hashem has a sense of humor. Go back to the first Siyum HaShas in Masquerade Garden. No one would imagine that in this time, this year, someone would come lichatchil to a Siyum HaShas for what? For song and dance. To go and sing and dance Simchas Torah. No one didn't come to speeches.
Yeah.
But everyone came, really. What do they all come for? They came for the insight. And it's amazing how things you never thought in life that are not even a tofel, they don't even exist, how Hashem has a sense of humor, they become the ikur in a very good way. And through the song and dance, now we're very receptive to go back and listen. What exactly did they say? It opened up a whole new world.
I was started in 1990 with the Siyum. It seems to me that yesterday's Siyum, there weren't too many big names.
There were not. What?
For speeches. They were not there anymore. They were in
the Olam HaEmes. The Olam HaEmes, it's true.
They were not there anymore.
It's 100%.
They had to put in these
I don't know.
Films, and they had to put in these kids, and they had to...
I don't know. Yes or no. I don't know.
Nobody was there anymore.
There's some very good people.
Because of the code.
There's a very big problem. It's a very difficult mission to be able to present to 90,000 people. It's almost impossible. You can't see. He's so high up. Even if it was a beautiful day, it's extremely difficult. Certainly when it's frigid cold, and it's very, very hard. I don't know what to say.
Is this the first time they had a rehearsal shechter?
I didn't even see a rehearsal shechter.
On the video.
On the video, I didn't even see. I was so distracted.
They had substitute videos for actual people.
I was so distracted. See, on the other hand, I'll tell you, on the other hand, my sister, she went to Barclays, and she was blown away. See, that's the difference. In an indoor facility, you hear every word, and you see the video, you live the video, you live it. It's unreal how, that's the problem. Outdoor facility, it's extremely, extremely difficult to connect. You have to really work and have a lot of mazel to be able to to connect. Indoors, Madison Garden, Barclays, all these big centers, indoors, even though it's 20, 30,000 people, they're able to do it. Mm-hmm. They're able, the sound is perfect. Yeah. The sound literally penetrates, yes, penetrates your blood.
Absolutely.
The video is overwhelming. Mm-hmm. Outdoors, you can't do it, it just doesn't work. The technology is not there to do it. It's very difficult. So she was there, so she told me the videos were like Academy Award videos. The amount of effort that you saw, I couldn't appreciate. I really could not appreciate it.
I saw it online.
Online you could.
Same thing.
Online you could, right. Online you could.
The same thing was very good.
Online you want, it's an entirely different experience. Online is again, there are three different experiences you can have. You can go to the place like MetLife. You can go to a place like Barclays, and then you can watch it online. Each of the three, even though it may be exactly the same, is very, very different. I experienced all three, and it's a world of a difference. The three different experiences that you can have, that's how it is. Okay? They had a tremendous Kiddush Hashem. They said they showed the video, and they could not fill up. They did not fill, Barclays was not full. Yeah. So instead of filling up the ground floor, they just left it empty, and they made it into the dance floor. Now the field area, if it was full, they filled with chairs. That's what they did in the past, and but they didn't have enough people to come. It was pretty full. It was, I don't know how many people, 15,000 people. It's a lot of people, but it wasn't full, so they didn't fill up. They didn't put the bottom with chairs. So what did the bottom become?
The dance floor.
So when they finished the steam, kemat every person that could. They came down to dance on the chasana. And then the media, they showed, they could not believe how, after it was over, within minutes, there's something that is the Guinness Book of World Records, how people can be so disciplined. After it was over, they went back to their seats within a matter of minutes. They showed the video of this happening in fast forward. It's incredible. It's a very powerful experience. Yes.
Rabbi Levine,
yes.
I watched it on the computer.
Yes.
The sound, the picture was gorgeous.
I know, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Absolutely. It's a very different experience.
Yes.
It's incredible, but it's not being there.
But my wife didn't serve lunch. I couldn't get her away from the computer.
Yes, absolutely.
It's a different experience on the computer. Being in an open area, being in a closed area, that's how it is. That's the complexity of this world. It definitely inspired a lot of people, you know, mechazik them to learn Torah, you know, and the agoda, they tried so hard to accommodate, it's very obvious, to accommodate all different types of requests and organizations who wanted to, you know, they're very into all the what's going on in this world. If you pay attention to some of the little things that they did, A lot of it's amazing how many things they stuck in the Daf Yomi moment. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, they take this Agoyesha thing that they do. They take where they do the Daf Yomi moments not from the podium, from the audience. They had Gold, what's his name?
Yoel Gold.
So he's a very popular person. Mm-hmm. He has a koyach of delivering a story within a minute or two. Mm-hmm. So that's called the Daf Yomi moment. They had him give a say over a story. So where does he say the story from? He doesn't say the story from the podium.
Yeah.
He says they go to him. Where is he? Oh, he's sitting over on the third level. They go to him, and all the kids gather around him, right? It's a certain they by the goyim they do. They take from the goyim. That's what they do by a Super Bowl. You want to have a moment where you want to go interview someone in the audience, the parents of the quarterback. Oh, the parents of the quarterback are here. So they go up to the audience, into where they're sitting, all the way up to the third level in the bleachers, and they put the camera on them and the audience, and everyone on the screen is watching. People are turning, they're watching, they're clapping. You engage the audience in an arena that has 90,000 people. Is that even possible? Is that even possible to focus in on one person sitting in the bleachers? That's incredible. It's an incredible technique. It's not the invention of the Agoda. This is the invention of the Goyesha world. But they picked up on it, and they did it yesterday a couple of times.
Three times.
Three times. Yeah. And I really like that. I really found that for me to be very effective.
Yeah.
That was a very, they never did that before. I found that to be brilliant. Yeah. Brilliant. And then embarrassed to do what the goyim do. You say, it was a very modern event, you know. It was a very hip. It was a very hip modern event where you see how modernity and ancient tradition really, really blended in a very unique way that I don't think people would expect years ago. It's, you know, with the times, the technology, to embrace the technology in a responsible way. It's a maturity that is necessary, which requires obviously a lot of effort and a lot of work. Anyone want to say anything?
Yes.
I think what was fascinating also was that, this, mm-hmm. that how it's evolved. You see more inclusion of the Sephardic community.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
And then also on one of the clips, they had a good, it must have been about 30 seconds of Chayalim dancing.
Yeah.
Okay, and the music, they also include Shlomo Kalbach, which was also...
Right. Of Herschel Schachter from Yeshiva University.
Right,
of Yeshiva University. He was identified as Yeshiva Reitz.
Reitz. R-I-E-T-S.
Reitz. Reitz.
Yes, that's what they said.
Okay.
They did not mention.
They want to say Yeshiva University. It's pretty. Also, it's pretty close. I think Reitz is in my book is the same thing as Yeshiva University. Rabbeinu Yitzchak, what Reitz stands for? What else is Ochanan if not YU? All right. Okay. A political, someone told me in the corner of the screen, it did say the logo of YU was there. I missed the whole thing. All right, it doesn't matter to me.
2027 will be speaking.
It doesn't matter to me. It really,
also, the blending of the Hasidic and
Litvish. Well, that's partial because Aguda is Hasidic. A good chunk of Aguda is Babov. Gare.
Bubba was Israel.
Bubba was not. Bubba, they're not, but Bubba was always respectful to Aguda. They were always very respectful. You're not part of Aguda, correct? Bubba Vareb was always very, I think they were there. The Bubba were there. I remember when I was going in, there was a whole contingent of women being ushered in, past us to some VIP section. And someone says, this is the Bubba of a family. The Rebbetzin, the whole Bubba of a family came.
Which one?
I don't know. Good question. I don't know. But Bubba the Rebbe always came to these things. The Bubba Rebbe was very. The Bubba is not. They're very respectful of the Aguda. Ger is part of Aguda, and they are whatever.
There was Strammel there.
People wearing strimals?
Yes, absolutely.
A sudas mitzvah. Okay, a chas, my rabbi says, a chas does not wear a strimal. You only wear a strimal on Shabbos or by a family wedding. And if you're telling me that people came in strimalach, that's a major, major statement they're making by putting on a strimal for this event. Yeah.
In the lobby, yes, I saw it.
Yes.
Two of them, yeah.
How does one get membership in the Boetzes?
I have no idea.
You should become.
When you'll be on the Moes, you'll tell us the secrets. When they elect you, you'll tell us how it happened. I don't know. I really, honestly, have nothing to do with the Aguda. I know nothing about the Aguda. I'm just an observer, like all of you, like most of us. My great grandfather was a very, very powerful Agudist, the Reish Rav. The Reish Rav was, in fact, I'm not trying to brag here too, but he was the Reish Hamadar. He opened up the Knesiyah Gedolah. The Knesiyah Gedolah, I think all three. He was like one of the main, I have a picture, I can show you on my phone,
He was a member of the Polish Parliament.
That also, of Mayor Shapiro.
Excellent Polish.
Of Mayor Shapiro and the Reish Rav were the two representatives to the Polish Sejm. The Sejm is equivalent to the Senate. Something we don't appreciate. In those days, I didn't appreciate this until very recently. There was something called Askonus. Now today the word Askon is a Litzonus. It's the biggest Litzonus. They put a child in the FJJ is called an Askon. You can't even imagine what the Litzonus of that is because this other no one even knows what this means. In Europe, before the war, one of the hottest things was to be an Askon. To be an Askan, what does it mean to be an Askan? It means to represent the Jewish people in front of the Goyim. It was a big, big deal. You can't even imagine what it was. It was there's a Yetzirah, like Avodah Zarah for this. It was in order to be a person, that's where all the action was. It wasn't speaking on Torah anytime, believe me. that's not what it meant to be. To be a gadol means you represented the Jewish people before the goyim. Today, no, who's interested? Who was interested in going before the goyim today? That's not, people wanted, they want other things today. It was a big thing, Askon, of Meir Shapiro and my great-great-grandfather, Aaron Levine, were the two Polish representatives of the Jewish people in the Polish parliament. And in fact, a good part of my grandfather,
Mayor Shapiro,
the Lublina Rav. The Lublina Rav. I have a whole stash of letters that the Rav Shapiro wrote, correspondence between his own handwriting. I have the letters between him and the Lublina Rav and Rav Mayor Shapiro. They worked together on projects. A lot of it was about raising money. Okay, the schnar business never goes away. A lot of those letters about raising money. We need money for this. And they and the letters wasn't no email those days. They had the correspondence was very complicated, and it was a very, very big deal representing Klal Yisrael Umos Olam. Also, something very interesting yesterday is I don't know if you remember the previous times they welcomed the governor. The governor of New Jersey.
The governor was the yarmulke.
And he was waving his hands.
Yes.
They also welcomed two other people. They welcomed someone from the military. There, I don't remember exactly. I think they did two other people. They acknowledged their presence.
That they didn't show Barclays.
And Joe Bono?
I didn't see that.
Yeah.
Just Murphy.
Why
is it inappropriate to play the national anthem?
Yeah, why didn't they play the national anthem?
Interesting. It's very interesting. That is a very good question. There's definitely sources for that. It's an excellent question. Okay, he's asking a very excellent question. Why didn't they play the national anthem?
Okay. Watching it at home, online. I thought they were ready to play the national anthem after they introduced the governor of New Jersey.
It's a very good question.
They couldn't decide who was going to sing it.
Shalom Leonard.
It's a very good question.
Good.
He's asking a really good question. Is this a good question?
I email them all the time.
There are different, obviously, I have no idea what goes on behind closed doors. You can obviously see yesterday that an enormous, enormous amount of thought, planning, politics went into this.
Do you think they had a secular consultant? You know, like
I think
media,
so.
A media consultant?
Yeah, well, last time, I don't know, I didn't see, last time I remember very clearly the fellow from Mishpacha magazine, what's his name? Remind me his name. That's the Ari magazine. There's a writer.
Really?
Eitan Kobri.
Kobri.
I remember very clearly last time, 7.5 years ago, Eitan Kobri was employed by the Aguda to be the media, the representative, to speak to the secular media. They had a room where they invited the reporters of all the major secular news organizations, the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, anyone who wants, and he was there as the official representative of the Agudat Yisrael for this event to speak to them, to answer their questions, to talk to them, to discuss the matter. They made it public knowledge. We have here a representative that is designated for the media. Please come speak to him.
One question.
I'm assuming for sure if they did that 7.5 years ago, they did it yesterday. Don't worry. You'll be reading about this for the next 2 weeks until you'll get nauseated with it.
Is he a lawyer?
Is he a lawyer? I don't think so.
I taught him about mitzvahs.
Yeah? Eitan Kobri? I don't know. I have no idea. Yeah.
The television and the news, I saw the 11 o'clock news.
Yeah.
Had a report, and it was very accurate. It said 7.5 years, 2,700 pages. It showed someone flipping the Gemara, said, we do page by page. It was like...
Someone taught them. So that's the work of the Aguda behind the scenes.
Right.
To portray it in a positive way, to make a Kiddush Hashem. That's to their credit.
And I meant a secular... Someone to put the program together, a secular consultant to put the program together.
I'm sure There were a lot of...
The way you said they went into the audience with the three interviewers and stuff like that. That's
for sure. They hire professionals for this, of course. How much money goes into this? I know the day before, Torah Anytime. See, you know, you saw stuff streaming online?
Yeah.
I want to brag now. I both say I want to brag now. I want to brag now. You saw online streaming, so one of the people that was streaming was Torah Anytime. Okay, they were there.
Yes, yes.
So Torah Anytime, they called me up on what was it? It was today's Thursday, Wednesday, Tuesday, Monday. Called me up on Tuesday. Mayor Summers, I'm coming. I have to come over to your house. I'm gonna be in Flatbush. I need some equipment. I'm here in MetLife. We're setting up. We need some equipment that we're missing. I know you have it. I need it from you. So he came to the house and I gave him some equipment that he needed. And that equipment was involved in streaming yesterday from their life. So big deal, huh? Big deal. Anyway, there's right, big deal. But and then during the CM, I text him and he told me all these secrets. He told me then he came over, I was talking, he should tell me all these behind the scenes was going on, the companies that are involved. He told me all the actions happening, this room, that room. He told me a lot of interesting things, which is not in the game. And then he told me, what was I about to tell you? Then he invited me. During the CM, he texted me, I should come over to the booth. Come over to the booth. He told me exactly where it is, but I couldn't get because the security won't let me go. He told me I should come visit him in the command center. In the command center where they're... What?
In the warm.
Warm center.
In the warm section. Where it was warm. They were all, no, he told me it wasn't warm. He told me it actually was cold. Yeah. He told me, what did he tell me? He told me he was hungry or whatever. It was an amazing, amazing event from my perspective. Unfortunately, I was very, very distracted. I really had a very hard time concentrating on the speeches. The sound was very cold. The sound was very... I sat, the echo was just horrible.
You got speakers in the back, and I think that's...
Whatever it was. I'm not complaining. But what I came for, I got. And everything else, I can go back and look it up. I can go back and, you know, watch if I don't have time to go spend watching it again. Not really, but... But, you know, there's something to it. Anyone want to say anything? Please share your thoughts.
I went to Barclays in the end. I gave up my tickets for MetLife because I couldn't take the cold either. And I went with my grandchildren and my son-in-law. And the Kiddush Hashem there was also incredible. It was everything so orderly, so disciplined. And like you said, the pictures were perfect. The sound was perfect. Like when you said the day before, there's always glitches. There's always... There wasn't one glitch.
Any character demonstration?
No, nothing. It was so unbelievable. Like clockwork and the Kiddush Hashem. I danced on the floor with my grandson, and when they said, go back up, everybody went back up nicely. It was unbelievable.
Were there speakers there also?
Yes, yes. Yeah, we had different speakers at certain occasions, and then they zoomed in and met live for live things with the certain things that we had asked for them. It was and the music and the... It's perfect, literally perfect. And they gave Rav Aaron Schechter the first seat on the dais.
Of course, of course they gave.
In the wheelchair.
What's not to be expected, of course.
When I found myself singing, my eyes were swaying around and seeing everyone. Yeah, but from where I was, and I was able to look up, and you see everyone's like swaying to the side there. And myself as well. That I felt it was really.
Mayor, what were your thoughts? Only good things. Something good.
The character was at the end. The Schnarrs went there.
Oh.
It was perfect.
I saw one person
thoughts really. On Sunday, there's a demonstration, a march across the Brooklyn
Foley Square,
to demonstrate against the anti-Semitism that. Coming out
of Sharpton is coming there too, right?
I was very also one thing. Baruch Hashem is a very important thing. Baruch Hashem, no one spoke about this. This I think is a tremendous milo to appreciate in Klal Yisrael. No one spoke about the anti-Semitism openly. Yeah, because this is not a political event. They did not make this into a political event. Baruch Hashem, there's a time for politics. It's a very critical, pressing issue, nothing. But that's not what this is about. It's not a time now to turn this event into a political rally.
Because
governor was here, right? The governor of Israel.
They acknowledge. They acknowledge his presence. They did that derech nimus. Derech nimus, the proper thing to do. And Baruch Hashem, there were no events. You didn't hear of any Baruch Hashem. I didn't hear of any stories.
What happened? Didn't have one call in Baruch.
Two girls.
What happened?
Two girls.
Yeah.
Whoa.
I remember seven years ago, they did an interview with the staff, and they said every event they have in MetLife, there's a police department in MetLife. There's a police center. Right. Real, the NYPD. Oh, no, there's New Jersey. There's a special, they have an official roster. How many people are physically removed due to violence or disturbing rowdiness? Every single event. A Super Bowl, they throw out hundreds. They physically pick them up. They pick them up and they throw them out. They take them outside, they put them in the street. There is no event in the history that ever took place there that they did not throw out at least a few people.
They have a holding place.
They have a prison there. That's right. This list, 7.5 years ago, 7.5 years ago, they said, this is the first time on the roster. There was not one person that was physically removed.
And I was there.
No one was removed. They have part of the bathroom, some of them have to be replaced when an event is over. They have to actually remove the partitions and remove some of the equipment and because of the abuse and the korban that the people in Meshugoyim. Nothing. They said the bathroom was like spick and span, like nothing happened. How you talking? Did such a thing happen?
2,000
ago. Look what Torah can produce. Look at the product. Look, Hashem gave Klal Yisrael the Torah. Look at the product. Look, when you live a life of Yiddishkeit, a life of Torah and Yerushalayim, look at the product. It's an incredible Kiddush Hashem. Look, there's room for improvement. No one's a perfect. We're not saying that everything is perfect. There's always room for improvement. There are different segments of Klal Yisrael. Okay? There's what to learn from everyone. And no one's coming to take glory. You're the best. Chas v'shalom. Yesh v'yesh. Everyone has their place, but it's incredible what we've seen yesterday. What?
Carmel
b'toch haya, like we learned today. Yes, Michal.
At one point, I was walking around in the concourse just to try to warm up because I was frozen stiff, and I had taken off my Shabbos hat and put on a ski hat for warmth. And a yid passed by me and wished me a happy New Year.
Now that's a good story.
Ooh. You get the cake. That's a good story. That is a good story for the newspaper. That is a good story. Okay. Yes.
I just want to make a public announcement. Rabbi Levine will be speaking tonight at 7:15 in the Pleasant Shul, Bedford Corner, Avenue Y. The Marim Makomos are available for Rabbi Levine.
Yankee Ziegelbaum, who runs the shul, Posner Shul, is my neighbor. He lives two houses down from where I stay, and I'm friendly with him, and he asked me to give a shiur on the siddur. So, I don't know how many people he thinks is going to come. Maybe three people, but he's promoting it with cholent and hot cholent. So we'll see what happens tonight. Okay. Now, Rabbi, so here's the question. We have 15 minutes left until Mincha. I tell you a little Torah. I will be that Mincha, so we'll share. I'll tell you some talk about something for a few minutes. Okay. What I really prepared today.
The last mincha, correct.
Today is the last mincha. Next week we're going to start that. We're going to finish the shiur at approximately 12 o'clock. Okay, so let me just share with you just a little thing. There's a very, very fascinating thing that I got a hold of. It's called Akdamos Milin. Akdamos Milin, Vishalo Yeshusa. Okay, so this sefer, what it does in this sefer, it's the person who wrote the sefer, his name is, everyone likes to know, their name is Yosef Ingaber. probably not pronounced that correctly.
Ingber.
Okay. This person obviously is a massive Talmud Chacham. He has Askamas from Lakewood. Where does he live? He seems like he's not a young person because he has Askamas from Moshe Feinstein of Schneer Kotler. Okay, so this person obviously, a lot of the people that he has a Haskamah of Dustin Wachvogel are not living. Not been living for a long time, in fact. So obviously the Sefer is a brand new Sefer, but the person who wrote this is obviously not a young person. And he writes over here, Yesoidos, basic concepts that are essential, in his opinion. He wrote, he never meant to publish this. He wrote his own notebook. And he saw it was interesting, so he made out of it a Sefer. Things that he, in his learning, his experience of learning, are essential to understand before you learn different sfarim in Torah. For example, he has over here a hakdama to basically every mesechta and shas. Before you learn mesechta erevin, you should know these yesoidos. You should know these. I'm not talking about the basic. You go in the introduction of the Arshul Gemara. They'll give you the rundown of a whole summary of what. No, he's going to give you something off the beaten track, which he wrote in his notebook, which he felt in his experience. It's kedai for himself at least. This is a very important concept, and if you know this concept, it takes you to the whole mesachta. And he did that for basically every mesachta in Shas, and then he did that also hakdama for studying Tanakh. Hagdamas for studying each one of the Sifrei Tanakh, which is very interesting. Not only each one, but many of them. And Hagdamas for all different types of Svarim. This person, he knows. I never even heard of some of these Svarim. Famous Svarim, studying the Rambam, Sefer HaMitzvahs. Hagdamas, Sefer Poel Tzedek Al Tayag Mitzvahs. I don't even know what that is. I'm so ignorant. Who wrote that? The Shach. The Shach wrote Hagdamas to Tayag Mitzvahs. And that's what the Sefer is all about. It's a very hakdama to the study of piyutim. Before you study piyutim, what are the yesodos you have to know to appreciate piyutim? So why am I presenting this here to you? Because today, now that Shas, we're on the verge, Shabbos, Kodesh, you have to learn anymore. Yesterday, they finished Shas. Sunday is not base. Gevaldik, vacation. You're off today, tomorrow, Shabbos.
Yes.
No Daf Yomi, right? Okay, so you have vacation, so is the Hakdama. It's not true. Shas is not over until Shabbos. They made this seem early. It also was a Chiddush. It's also a sign of the times, by the way.
Of course.
I said 25 years ago, they would never fathom of making a Siyum 3 days early because it's a legal holiday. Why not? It's a legal holiday, and the people said, we'll make the Siyum a few days early. We didn't finish yet. No way in a million years would the mindset of the Aguda.
Yeah, well, timing is everything.
Would they even think like that? It's a sign of the times. It's a certain modern way of thinking. Big deal. So we make the same thing on January 1st, New Year's Day, in the afternoon. Afternoon, Bittul Torah. Boys have to go to the Rebbeim. Boys go to Yeshiva. You make the same at night. To be nimayate the Bittul Torah. It's very fascinating, as I said. You see what's going on. It's an acceptance of the times we live in, and the needs are very different. It's really, really, you see what's going on, you pay attention. It's a very, very fascinating. In this sefer, it has Hakdama. So it has Hakdama to Shas. So let me tell you a few very nice things that he writes here. As a Hakdama to Shas. Let's pick one simple thing. Why, I like this very much, short of one, why does Shas begin with the word me'emosai? This is not really a part of the main, this is a side point of Hakdama. Why does it begin with emosai? So he says here something very fascinating. The Medrash is a Medrash that says, what was the first question Klal Yisrael asked Moshe Rabbeinu? The first question was, already reading the Medrash, Mitoch Medrash Ayotzei Shashakla V'tayo, we find the Medrash. Kosav, now this is really Rabbeinu Nissen, the Ran writes this. In the Sefer Psachim, the first question they asked Moshe Rabbeinu was with regard to Sfiras HaOmer. Sfiras HaOmer, B'shah, I'm reading you the Medrash. B'shah she'ama Moshe ta'avdun es ho'elokim alohor hazeh. Okay, so Klal Yisrael, Hashem said, Moshe Rabbeinu told Klal Yisrael that we're going out of Mitzrayim, and the purpose of leaving Mitzrayim is to serve Hashem, Kabbalah Satorah. Right, remember that pasuk. Ta'avdun es elokim alohor hazeh. Omru lo Yisrael. It's a beautiful idea about it, tell you. Klal Yisrael said to Moshe, Moshe, we're going out of Mitzrayim to be mekabel the Torah. When? Omru lo Yisrael l'Moshe Rabbeinu, emosai avoidazo. When is this event going to happen that we're going to serve Hashem on Har Sinai by mekabel the Torah? Omar lohem, I'll tell you the answer. B'soif chamishim yoim, 50 days after Yitzias Mitzrayim. They began to count Sfira until Matan Torah. They began to count leaving Mitzrayim. Moshe told us 50 days from the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim will go to the Mekabel of the Torah. This is the Ran saying, the Ran speaking. So the Ran says, Mitoch Medrash Yitzias Shashak Levitalia Harishaina. What is the Gemara all about? You learn Daf Gemara. What is the Gemara all about? The Gemara is structured in the form of a conversation.
Questions,
answers, the discussion. The first conversation that Klal Yisrael had with Moshe Rabbeinu was with regard, when are we being mekabel the Torah? And the record we have on hand of this conversation begins the question, the way they posed the question was, Emosai, when is Emosai avoid zo? When is this event going to happen? And Moshe told them, in 50 days from now. Therefore, Ulechein, therefore, Paschu, Hashisha Sidrei Mishnah, Shem Kololois, which basically is the summary of that event that happened, with the very word that Klal Yisrael used to ask Moshe Rabbeinu, when will it happen? Me'emosai, Koirin, Es Hashma, Ba'arvis. Ba'arvin, Ba'arvis, different Yersois, Ba'arvis. Why does Shas begin with the word Me'emosai? You know why? Because that was the first words that came out of the mouth of Klal Yisrael in their quest, in their yearning, their desire to understand the Torah. Me'emosai avodazos. When will this happen? Ta'avdun es lokim alohor hazeh. And Moshe said, 50 days. Therefore, Paschu Hashisha Sidrei Mishnah Shem Kololos Torah Shebal Peh Hanina Besidu Moshe Rabbeinu L'lamdo L'chlal Yishol B'loshayin Emosai. Now, is that a beautiful varat from Iran? That's a powerful varat to explain. It captures the entire flavor of Shas. He then goes on, his main yisod over here in the Hakdamah to Shas is that the Rambam, the Sefer HaMitzvah, it's very fascinating, the Rambam, when he summarized the Gan Shas, the Rambam, he studied carefully every single thing in Shas. The Rambam, he attempts to categorize into one of the Taryag mitzvahs. In other words, the Rambam's starting point in the Sefer HaMitzvahs is there are Taryag mitzvahs, 613 mitzvahs. Therefore, every single thing that you come across in the Gemara, in the Talmud, in the Mishnayos, you have to pick it up, extract it, and put it into one of those 613 categories. And he writes, he goes on to say that if you look very carefully, that's why he's writing the Sefer, if you look at Rabbeinu HaKadosh, he's doing the same thing. Everything in the Mishnayos, and in the Gemara, are secretly being organized to fit into one of the Taryag mitzvahs. When you have that focus in mind, your learning becomes very different. You learn a Mishnah, okay, there's a halacha. In which category does this halacha belong? Which one of the Taryag mitzvahs? That he holds to be a very important side in this idea. Now, another thing is that Masechet Brachos, that will be very interesting. Masechet Brachos, what is the main thing of Masechet Brachos? He says Masechet Brachos is coming to answer, is a, the whole Masechet is a response to what are Mo Hashem Elokecha Shoyel Meimachim Liyira Osa. This is a very beautiful idea that he says. Reishis Chochma Yiras Hashem. The purpose of learning Torah is Yiras Shemayim. Reishis, that's what Reishis Chochma Yiras Hashem. Where in Chazal do we have a principle of Yiras Shemayim? Where is the primary makar for Yiras Shemayim? Mo Hashem Elokecha Shoyl Meimach Kiim Liyire Oisai. Chazal Darshan. Al Tikri Mo Elo Meya. Every single person should say 100 blessings. By blessing Hashem 100 times a day, you will remember Him, you will come to fear Him. Now, what are the 100 blessings? So if you open up Sifrei Halacha, every single Baal Halacha has their own unique calculation. The Mishneh Berurah has his calculation, Erech HaShulchan has his calculation, Kaf HaChaim has his calculation, and the Mogen Avraham has his calculation. Everyone likes to have a calculation to figure out the mystery of how you get in the day 100 blessings. And the next question is, from where do you start? Do you start from Hamapil? From Ma'ariv? Maybe so from Ma'ariv. Ma'ariv HaRavim. When does the day begin? Does the day begin with Ma'ariv? Does the day begin with Hamapil? Does the day begin with Netilas Yadayim? How do you begin the calculations? Also a very big topic of discussion. But one thing is for sure. Reishis Chochma Yiras Hashem. Mo Hashem Elokecha Shoyel Meimachim Liyira Osei Al Tikri Mo Elameya. The purpose of Masechta Brachos is to define the 100 blessings that you say every single day. That's the yisod of Masechta Brachos. Who would ever think like this? In other words, what about on Yom Tov? It's Pesach. I'm making a bracha. Asher kedushan b'mitzvah v'tzvanu al achilas matzah. Oh, so Pesach, I have another bracha to add to my list. Yeah, excuse me, that bracha is only once a year. Oh, but Megillah. I make a bracha on Megillah. Asher kedushan b'mitzvah v'tzvanu al mikra Megillah. That bracha is once a year. That's not every single day. Oh, what about the Shluch HaKan? Maybe you'll never make that bracha. It's only if it happens, you happen to find a bird. But there are certain blessings that you will come in contact with, whether you like it or not, every single day, 100 times. That is Masechta Brachos. Every single, a big chunk of the Masechta is Kriya Shema in the beginning, but then the Masechta goes on to discuss all the other blessings. And why only this blessing? The other inyanim. The secret, in his opinion, to understanding Masechta Brachos is the Tana and the Amoraim who made this Masechta are coming to define for you the blessings that you will encounter every single day of the year, which you will use to make up the requirement of 100, so that you will achieve what the goal is, Yiras Shamayim. Because in essence, when you're sitting down to learn a daf Gemara, what are you required to do? Reishis Chochma Yiras Hashem. So Shas has to begin with Yiras Shamayim. Has to begin with Yiras Shemayim, and the Yiras Shemayim are the 100 brachas. This Masechta will teach you the 100 brachas to achieve the Yiras Shemayim, to blend together Yiras Shemayim. And the last thing we're going to say is from Rapam, which I really find this to be, he says, it's supposed to say with Daf Al Daf, I always say this many times, and that is, the Masechta begins, Me'imasai Kreshma Ba'arvis, Misho Shehakoyhanim Nechnasin Le'echol Bitru Masam. There's a lot of long this, so give a whole long shiur on this. You study the subject matter, but what do you teach children this means? It means Turuma, a Kohen who's Tameh, goes to Mikvah, he waits for the sun to set. It's a very basic question.
Right.
Why is the Kohen eating Turuma if the Kohen should be saying Kriya Shema? When is the earliest time to say Kriya Shema? When the Kohanim begin to eat their Turuma. They're Tameh, they go to Mikvah, they wait until it's sunset, Harif Shemesh. So when they eat Truma, that's when you should recite Kriya Shema. And what about them? They're privileged characters? They don't have to say Kriya Shema? Why are they eating Truma when you are saying Kriya Shema? Is that what says the Mishnah?
Yep.
Me'emosai koirin Shema Baris. When is the earliest time to say Kriya Shema? Zrizim Akdim Mitzvahs. You know when it is? Well, there's a group of Kohanim that can't wait to eat Truma. They're chalashim to eat Truma. But they're tummy. They gotta wait until it gets dark. So as soon as it gets dark enough that they can eat their truma, that's when you can say Kriya Shema. Well, they're Kohanim. Don't you think they should also be saying Kriya Shema at that moment in time? What happened to them? Good question.
But they can, after they finish truma, they'll say Kriya Shema.
After? Because who comes first? Hashem comes first or you come first? Okay, this is a, such a delicious question. Pundit, I mean, it's a good question. Delicious question.
I have an answer to show the appreciation that somebody gave you something, you appreciate it.
Yeah. So you eat it.
Yeah, you eat like your mother.
But it's still Hashem comes first. You have to say creation.
Well, yeah, not always.
This is a big topic. And I'm not giving you the answer, but a secret, one element to answer this question, it's not the whole answer, I'm not prepared, is when it says in the Mishnah Truma, it does not mean regular Truma. It means Bikurim. Okay, it's not explaining the whole story. A farmer brings to the Beis HaMikdash his first fruits, and he presents it as a gift to the Kohen. And what does he present? Bikurim. And he recites, Arami Oyved Avi. You recite history. You go through world history. Arami Oyved Avi. Pesach. All Pesach is our history. Klal Yisrael. And you give it and you say to the Kohen, thank you. You mak your toiv to the Kohen. You give him a basket and you go home. It says in the Torah, Uterumas Yodicha. It says a few places in Chumash. Uterumas Yodicha. Chazal, Rashi always cites this Chazal. Eilu ha-bikurim. Bikurim is also called teruma. Now, Masechet Brachos, taught as children, begins with teruma. Me'eim osai kodesh shema bi'arvis, mishosha kehanim nechnasim lechel bitruma san. Which teruma? Teruma gedoyla. Right? The teruma gedoyla you take. No. Masechet Brachos begins with bikurim. When the Kohanim eat the Bikurim, why would the Rabbeinu HaKadosh begin the Masechta Brachos with Bikurim? Because that's what learning is all about, is to say thank you. The greatest gift that Hashem gave Klal Yisrael is the Torah. When a person is Zoicha, the fig develops, you take a blade of grass, you bring it to the Kohen. Thank you. She'encha kofui toivah. The beginning of Shas begins with, you know, when you say Kriya Shema to the Ribbono Shel Olam, Mishosha Kohen Nechnas Lechel B'Trumasan, when it doesn't answer the question, there's more to the answer. There's technical answer to answer the question, but all we need now at this moment is when you come to an appreciation for the gift of what Hashem has given you. You can't say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad unless you're not a Kofu Toiva. You're a person who's gracious, of gratitude. You acknowledge this gift is the gift of Torah is eternal, and when you have that appreciation, then you're in the right mindset to say to Hashem, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Okay, we'll stop over here. Matan Mincha.
Israel.